Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to episode 10 of Kitchen Stitches. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2014, and I am taking advantage of Houston's air quotes snow day to finally get a chance to record this episode. I'm sorry that this one is a little bit later than normal. I've just not had time. One of the things I really like to record earlier in the day, and past week, I just haven't felt it in the evenings. I'm so tired in the evenings, so it doesn't happen. Not to mention, I like to record in our back room, which also doubles as my husband's workspace. And as a teacher, of course, he brings home a lot of work, and that room just hasn't been available for me to record in. So I am taking advantage and doing it midday today. I said Houston had a quote snow day. It is not snowy at all, although parts of Houston are areas a little north of us did have a couple of inches of snow. For those of you in colder climates, you would laugh and probably are laughing if you're watching the news at Houston's reaction to a little bit of ice. But it was rainy yesterday and it got below freezing, and Houston's infrastructure just is not designed for freezing weather. So our freeway system is huge. I won't say we have no public transportation system. We do have a bus system, but it relies on the freeways. We don't have a large, robust rail system. So if it gets below freezing and the roads are wet, those overpasses are going to freeze. And that's what happened today. The city actually did not shut down, but the kids and husband's school district did. And I told my boss yesterday that if their school district closed, that I was taking a vacation day, because I just didn't think it was fair. They get Christmas and they get spring break and they get various other days, and I have to work, and I was taking my freaking snow day. So I took a vacation day. Had they had to go to school, I was not going to try to get into work. I was just going to work from home. But I was just as happy as they were when school was canceled, because that meant that I could lounge around and knit and do whatever I wanted to all day today. So anyway, for those of you just tuning in, I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns or on Instagram as Summer's Picks. And Summer is spelled S-O-M-E-R, in case you don't know. You can also find links to those on the blog at www.kitchenstitches.com, so you can link right over to those. I am considering changing my username on Ravelry to Summer Yarns, so that they're sent the same in both. When I first made my Instagram account, I had no idea how much I was going to enjoy using it, and I had been using Flickr as Summer's Pick, so I just used the same thing. Now that I am using it more and now that I have the podcast, I'd rather them be the same. So I probably will change that. So watch for that before too long. We also have a Ravelry group. It is the Very Creative Kitchen Stitches group. We are up to 32 members as of the last time I checked, and I would like to welcome all new members. And I would love it for those of you who haven't joined to join. I'd also like to thank everyone who has submitted an iTunes review. So far, I have 5 reviews from Nitty Girl, PainterMom18, who is PainterMom on Ravelry, Rieger C, Deb Elt, who is Daisy Marie Knits on Ravelry, and Jay Knight, that's me, who is BZ Mama on Instagram and Tanya Marie on Ravelry. And thank you guys. I really appreciate the reviews, and I am trying to remember to return the love and give reviews whenever I get a chance. I'm really bad about that. I'm also really bad about giving feedback on Etsy, and I'm trying to get better about that too. So let's move into the knitting. I don't have any big FOs, but I did finish 2 hexi puffs. I used since I made my show notes, I've actually done 3 hexi puffs. I've done 1 out of Hiawassee Creek Dye Works Lodge Sock in the Grinch colorway, which is reds and 2 greens, striping, 2 different shades of green, and 1 out of Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the ginger colorway. And I also made 1 out of the McMullen Fiber Company Squishy in the President Snow colorway, which is what I'm using to make a pair of socks right now. And I also made a Christmas ornament, which was a Christmas tree using a Lion Brand bonbon. And I'll talk about that a little bit more because that is part of a knit along I am hosting. And I would love to see more participation in that too if anybody is so inclined. So let's move on to my WIPs. I am still working on my vitamin D, and I didn't write down designer and all of that stuff, so let's see how much I can remember. That vitamin D is a paid pattern by Heidi Kermeyer, and I am using Barocco Ultra Alpaca Light in a brown colorway. And I am using size 4 Hiya's, I believe. And I am still working on that. I was doing one row a day because that's pretty much all I could handle with the purling back. It was driving me crazy. But I have finished the stockinette part and I am on to the garter stitch edging. I have done 3 rows, so I have 3 more rows of garter stitch along the bottom to do and then 5 rows along the edge. And I was looking at the schematic for the pattern yesterday, and that looks to me like that measurement is smaller than the measurement along the bottom of the sweater. So hopefully that won't take me as long. My goal is, especially now since I have a long weekend, is to finish it this weekend. I'm going to try very hard. I'm so tired of this sweater. I want to wear it so badly. And I have mentioned in another episode, at least, this sweater has been on the needles since August 2011. It is time to be done. So cross your fingers. Hopefully next week I will have a finished object to share. Next thing up is my Naturalist Cowl, which is a pattern I am test knitting for my mom, a Free Spirit. And I'm about halfway done with that. I'm sorry, Mom, it's not going faster. There's just too much going on, and I'm trying so hard to finish this sweater. But I did get quite a bit done on it one night over the past weekend when we sat and watched the movie, and I just picked that up and knit on it through the whole movie. So that one is coming along nicely. My Kebnekaise socks, which actually I am going to change the name in my project pattern, my project page on Ravelry to my pseudo Kebnekaise socks because I've changed the pattern up so much. I have finished one sock and I've done the cuff plus a few rows on the second. For this sock, I am using McMullen Fiber Company Squishy in President Snow colorway, which was part of a Hunger Games sock club about 2 years ago. And I am doing this on size 1 knit picks, actually. Yeah, I'm doing that one on 2 circs. And that one, actually, I've done completely at work, other than the cuff of the first one. I cast that one on January 1st. And, excuse me, I did, I finished the cuff, I think, or maybe was really close, and then brought it to work. And I have just left that at work to do, to have as my work knitting. I did bring it home one day this week so I could do the heel in one night, so I didn't have to remember where I was. But I brought it back and finished it, and I think I brought it home for the toe. I may be getting my weeks mixed up, I don't know. But I'm done with sock one. And as I figure it, it took me 21 days to do the first sock. It should take me about that long, maybe a little bit longer to do the second one. And I can't remember why I figured that. But that's okay. I am still going to cast on my February sock on February 1st, which is my birthday, by the way. And I will just work on it at home. But once I get finished with my January sock, I'm going to switch and I will take my February one to work. I like this plan. It gives me something steady to work on at work, and I really have enjoyed seeing the progress made with just a little bit of time each day. I am also still working on my Knitted Heart vanilla socks, which is really my go-to vanilla sock pattern. I believe that is a free pattern. The Kebnekaise socks also are a free pattern on Ravelry by Frida of Friday Studios. That's where she is. And my knitted heart socks, I don't remember who they're by. Allison somebody, and I don't remember her last name. I'm really bad about notes this week. I am using my Opal Van Gogh Starry Night colorway, and I am a little past the heel on sock one. And this is another one that I'm not working on steadily. It's in the car for my car knitting. And I'm kind of thinking of it as my Brazos Bend sock because that's the longest driving we generally do. It's about 30 minutes out to that state park, and we go out there usually once every couple of weeks. And that one I'll pick up and knit in the car on the way out there. And again, I did bring it in long enough to do the heel and then put it back in the car. And that one is going really nicely as well. Like I said, I'm using Opal Van Gogh, and I'm using size one, I think they're size one. Size one, Chalgu Red Lace. And again, like the socks. And gosh, I've got a lot of socks on the needles right now. I'm also working on Vanilla Latte Socks, which is another pattern by my mom, a Free Spirit, also Absolute Wonder. And I have just finished the leg on sock one. I'm using Hawassee Creek Sassafras Sock in the Party Gras colorway, which is a colorway I had custom dyed for me, and I'm doing these for a friend at work. I have modified the pattern slightly in that I have added, it's a broken rib pattern, and instead of just doing a broken rib along the whole thing, I have actually, upon mom's suggestion, done just regular ribbing on the edges so it pulls in just a little bit. And these are gorgeous. I love these socks. I just finished the leg on sock one this morning, and I will probably go ahead and do the heel sometime today or tomorrow. And these I'm generally doing one stripe per day with the goal of finishing by Mardi Gras to give to my friend. And that's going well. They are speeding by. That's the best thing about self-striping is that it just flies by because you want to get all, you know, you just need to get just that one stripe done. Since I am focusing on my vitamin D this weekend, I doubt I'll do more than that, but we'll have to see. What else about that? I'm doing that one on size one. Yes? No, size zero. Size zero Chalgu Red Lace. Again, bad on my notes today. I do have a wind knitting attack story about this particular yarn. I had ordered it and it was sitting there, and I decided I was working from home last week and I took a break to wind. Actually, I guess this was the day I recorded last. I took a break to go wind the, or I had taken a break to wind the yarn and had it sitting in my chair, which is a bad idea when you have a kitten, and went and washed some dishes and came back and the cat had attacked the yarn. I say it was Belle because she is a kitten, but Oliver also has a history of doing this, so it could very well have been Oliver. Either way, it was in disarray, so I took it and came back into my craft room / office and rewound it. And she had actually only bitten through it in three places, and she was so nice to leave me with even sections. So I actually had two balls that were almost identical in weight, and then just another little ball that will be perfect for scrap yarn. It took me a while, but there was no cursing involved, even at the cat. And I have learned my lesson, I hope. Probably not. I don't think I'll ever learn. But I am starting to get a little anxious. The ball that I'm working with right now, I thought I had enough in each ball to do one sock, but I'm getting a little worried that I'm going to run out. We'll see. I hope not. I have plenty of yarn to make to make a pair of socks. I just really was hoping to not have to do some surgery to get my stripes right. Let's see. So that is pretty much the only knitting I have done this week. I did start my Once Upon a Time sampler, which is from the Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery. I got part of the border done, and I've done a little bit of the January block, but not very much. I am not letting myself work on this every night because one of the things that was causing my shoulder to hurt before Christmas was cross-stitching because it's a different motion and it does use my shoulder. And I don't want to get back into the habit of doing a little bit every night because I think that will exacerbate it. And I don't want to have to take a knitting break. So my plan is to work on it every other night, but I haven't actually met that goal yet. I will probably take a few minutes to work on a little bit today. Upcoming projects. I don't have anything immediately pending, although I keep thinking about casting on another TGV high-speed knitting shawl, which is a pattern by Susan Ashcroft, I think. And I want to use my Undead yarn in the Zombified colorway. I don't know if I ever actually mentioned this yarn in my enabling, but I ordered this yarn from Heidi of Undead Yarns from her Etsy shop. She's undeadyarns.etsy.com, I believe. You can search Undead Yarns on Etsy for sure and find her. And she is also the host of the Undead Yarn podcast, which I have been watching. One of the things I really like about her podcast is that it's nice and short, so I can fit it in, you know, in just a little bit of time. But this yarn is kind of, I don't want to call it a neon green, and Heidi, correct me if I'm wrong on this, on describing the colors, but it is it's a zombie green, but it's a little bit brighter than you might think of, like that putrid green with black splotches in it. And I think it will work up really nicely in that shawl. It just, for some reason, that's what it seems to want to be. But I am refusing to cast anything on until the vitamin D is off the needles. But that may be what happens. That may be my first project to cast on once I'm done. Heidi also has recently created that same yarn in a self-striping base. So you might want to check her shop for that if it's something you're interested in. Speaking of casting on new things, I did go ahead and sign up for the next Nerd Wars tournament, Tournament 10. I'm not too ambitious. Like I've said in the past few episodes, I'm trying to be more zen, and I don't really want to cast on all the things, but I can use some of my works in progress. And I'm thinking about doing a dissertation if I can think of something long term that I want to do that will take me 3 months to do. I may do that and focus more on that than the actual individual challenges. We'll have to see. But I just couldn't give up just yet after one tournament. So if you're on there, look for me. I am on Team Operation Cobra, which is for the Once Upon a Time fandom. And that's part of the reason why I was wishy-washy. I have just not gotten into Once Upon a Time this season. I think I watched the first two or three when they first were on, and then I got behind. And now I don't really want to go buy the episodes. So I kind of felt a little bit like a poser for being part of that fandom. But it's all about the knitting, really, you know? So, I mentioned at the beginning when I was talking about my finished objects that I did a Christmas ornament. For those of you who are just tuning in, I don't think I've mentioned this other than the one episode, but I am hosting a Christmas all year long cowl. I decided to do this when I decided over the Christmas holidays that I would like next year to have a little tabletop Christmas tree with only knitted ornaments on it. And I know someone has mentioned that there's another podcaster doing a cowl for this as well, and feel free to double dip if you want to participate. The only rule I have is that it needs to be something related to one of the winter holidays, and that can be solstice or Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or even Festivus, whatever you want to do. Just it has to be something related to the holidays. It can be gift knitting, it can be ornaments, which is what I'm doing, which are nice and small. That's why, you know, if I could just do one a month. Obviously, I am not eligible for prizes, but I am working on getting prizes lined up. My mom, who is, I mentioned, a free spirit on Ravelry, and she is also the owner of the Absolute Wonder Etsy shop. She sells project bags and stitch markers, mentioned that she would be willing to donate something. So I am going to work with her on putting together a really nice grand prize to be given away at the end of the year. I'm not sure what that will entail yet. We'll work out the details. But for the quarterly prizes, I want to give something smaller, and I want to give something that is not Absolute Wonder so that my mom has an option to win as well. So my plan right now is to do a Ravelry pattern of the winner's choice, $10 or less. I may also, instead of a Ravelry pattern 1 month, I may do a $10 Etsy gift certificate. And additional prizes may be added if there is more participation, and if anybody wants to donate anything to the Cal, I would be more than willing to take it. So that is the Cal. If you have any questions or anything, feel free to pop into the Ravelry group and ask them. So let's move on to In the Kitchen. I don't have a whole lot of grand cooking schemes to share this week, but I do have a few things that I want to talk about that I cooked this week that I think y'all would enjoy. I cooked on, I don't remember what day that was. Monday or Sunday? No, I guess it was Sunday. I did a pork loin roast, and this is a super easy recipe. I actually got the recipe off All Recipes years ago and have used it several times. It's just about a 4 to 5 pound pork loin roast, and I mixed together olive oil and sage and dried marjoram and salt and garlic. I think that's it. And I will post a link. If I don't post a link, remind me, because I don't think I actually posted any links last week. Actually, the recipe itself didn't call for olive oil, but this is better, I think, if you mix all of the seasonings in with the olive oil and then spread them on top of the roast. Then you just stick it in the oven, 350, until it registers 145 on the meat thermometer. It takes about an hour and a half to cook. Mine this week, while it looked lovely on Instagram for those of you who commented or liked it, but it did turn out to be a little dry. I know that the requirements for the temperature for cooking pork has changed over the past couple of years, but I'm not certain about specifics. I know that it has to be 145. The internal temperature has to be reach 145. The instructions that I used were to cook it to 145, but then of course when you take it out, it comes up some more. So I'm not sure if I'm supposed to cook it to 145 and then take it out, or if I can cook it a little less as long as it reaches 145 before I eat it. That would make a lot more sense to me because it would be juicy. It was okay, but it was not the best roast I've ever made. But it is a fantastic recipe, and it has been a favorite in the past. The other thing I made was homemade pizzas, and this is another really easy recipe. I think it was Heidi who commented on my Instagram pictures and said that I always make cooking look so effortless. Believe me, that is only because the things that I choose to cook on a regular basis really are easy. I don't enjoy cooking very much when I'm having to run around like a chicken with my head cut off, which the chicken curry that I posted a couple weeks ago, that's kind of how I felt, even though it was a relatively easy recipe. So don't get that impression that I am this fabulous chef. I'm not all that. I just cook things that are good and they're easy. So the homemade pizzas, I got the pizza dough recipe out of the How to Cook Everything cookbook. And again, it's really easy. I use a food processor, and it's just flour and salt and water and yeast and olive oil. And I don't remember the proportions, and I can post the recipe, but I can't post a link to it because it's in a cookbook. But I just do it in the food processor, let it rise, and then we usually do individual pizzas when we make this rather than large ones, because if I'm making it at home, it's easy to please everyone. we can just have, we can all do what we want to do. So this crust is not a thin crust. It comes out, it's very fluffy. And every time I make it, it makes me want to bake bread, which I've never done, but I'm going to have to do soon. Because if it's as easy as this, as the pizza dough recipe, then there's no reason I shouldn't be making my own bread. I also, for a little sweet treat this week, I made one of the little cakes in a mug, and I'm sure if you are on Pinterest, you've seen these all over the place. Oh, by the way, I am on Pinterest, so you can follow me there as well. And I am on there as Summer Newland, which is SommerNewland, one word. And so you see these recipes all the time for the little individual cakes in a mug. And last week, I really just wanted a little something sweet, so I went and searched Pinterest to see if I could find one. And I found one that was a chocolate peanut butter cake. And it was, you just do it all in one mug. It's a little bit of flour, a little bit of cocoa, a little bit of oil. I don't remember what else. But this had peanut butter. And then you just mix it all up and then cook it for a little more than a minute, I think. And it turns out great. And I put a little bit of ice cream on it. And there was my sweet treat. Again, I will link to that in the Ravelry group. And I am going to try to do show notes this week. I kind of missed having them on my blog, so I will do my best to get those posted. We have every month at work, the past several months, we've been having a birthday lunch for people, a group of us, for people who have had birthdays that month. And we had one of my coworkers has been buying a cake every month, and I felt that that wasn't very fair, especially since she's not necessarily great friends with everybody that's having a birthday. I mean, she knows them, but she shouldn't be required to buy the cake every time. So I volunteered to bake a cake this month, and that was yesterday. And so I made a brown sugar pound cake with cream cheese icing, and this was out of the book All Cakes Considered, which is the book that got me started baking cakes a few years ago. And this is a really great intro cookbook for people who have never baked cakes. She starts you out with a basic pound cake and teaches you all of the steps. And then progressively through the book, the cakes get more difficult. And I learned so much working my way through this book. I haven't worked my way through the whole thing. I got to the point where it was layer cakes, and not every week needs a layer cake. So I've kind of backed off on that. But I think I'm going to try to get back into that. I miss working my way through it. And it was a goal that I've kind of dropped. But anyway, this cake, it's a very simple pound cake. It takes a while to cook because pound cakes take a while. But the cream cheese icing recipe was to die for. It's just butter and cream cheese and vanilla and powdered sugar. I think that's all. And it is so delicious. I could just sit with a spoon and eat the icing. I might have done that a little bit. But you can put it on the cake, or you don't have to use it. And I just iced the top of it. So good. I have decided, though, pound cakes are not my absolute favorite. They're a little more dense, and I've decided I like a lighter cake. So even though these were the first cakes that I made, and they are really good cakes, they're not my favorite to make. So I think next time I need one, I'm going to go to something else. But still, I highly recommend that cookbook. Today, we are going to make snickerdoodle sandwich cookies, which is, there's not a recipe for this, but I have a lot of the icing, that cream cheese icing left over, and I was going to make brownies with cream cheese icing, and my daughter said, no, we need to make cookies and fill the cookies like they do at Great American Cookie Company. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to make snickerdoodles, and she suggested maybe doing regular snickerdoodles on one half and then chocolate on the bottom. So I found a recipe for chocolate snickerdoodles. So I'm going to basically cut the dough in half and mix in cocoa with the other half. And we'll just see how these turn out and then smear them with the cream cheese icing. I suspect they're going to be to die for, but we'll just have to see. It's an absolute experiment. If it works out, I will post the recipe in the group, and I'll talk about them next week. The only other thing I wanted to talk about is, or as far as in the kitchen goes, is breakfast. Let's talk about breakfast. Ever since I can remember, breakfast has been my favorite meal. I am a sucker for a big breakfast. Scrambled eggs, bacon, toast, and grits are my go-to big breakfast foods. And I don't remember how often we had them when I was growing up. It seems like we had this often, but Mom may disagree. It may have just seemed like it. But scrambled eggs, I believe, were one of the first things I learned to cook when I was probably in about third grade. And I relearned how to make them a few years ago, no, many years ago now, when Mom's husband taught me, or I don't know if he taught me or if Mom taught me his way of doing it, of cooking the eggs very slowly, and they turn out so creamy. And this is, it's one of my favorite foods ever. And they actually remind me very much of the eggs that my grandfather used to make when I was growing up. And I think that's part of why I like a big breakfast so much, is it always reminds me of breakfast, of mornings at my grandfather's house when I would spend the night, or at my grandmother's. My grandmother would always make big breakfast for me and my brother as well. And we were talking over breakfast this morning because we were all, we decided to have a nice big breakfast since we didn't have to go anywhere this morning and it was cold. And so my husband fried the bacon, I scrambled the eggs, and we had grits and bread made with some fresh bakery bread. Oh, it was so good. We were talking about it, and I said that if I were ever on death row and had to choose my last meal, that's what I wanted it to be. I would want it to be breakfast and a ribeye. live a little, right? I love ribeyes too, but I'll talk about that some other time when I've made a good one. So what is your favorite breakfast? Share with me in the group. I'd love to hear. Breakfast is my favorite meal. I could eat breakfast all the time. That reminds me, I don't know if any of you are John Green fans, the book The Fault in Our Stars is one of the most fabulous books I've read in a long time. I read it this year. It's a YA book, young adult book, and it is about cancer patients, and it is very depressing. Or no, it's not depressing. It's sad. It is a very sad book, but it is so incredibly good. But one of the main characters says that something along the lines of feeling like breakfast is cheated because it's the only meal that people will only eat in the morning at one time. You should be able to eat breakfast whenever you want breakfast. Breakfast food should be for any meal. And I absolutely agree with Hazel Grace. That is my philosophy on breakfast. So that is almost all I have to say. I do want to say that I am having a terrible time keeping up with podcasts. Actually, I am having a easier time recently because of something that I have done. And if you've listened to me for a while, I've talked about how I like to make lists and use spreadsheets, and I use a randomizer to make my decision-making easier. And I have actually started to do this with my podcasts. I am such a big nerd. But it's not so much of an issue with audio podcasts because I tend to be able to keep up with them pretty well. Sometimes I get behind and will have to just mark everything as played and then start over, especially after a big break where I haven't been driving as much. But my video podcasts are different, and it's very common that I can't view everything I want to view, and I have a backlog. And I end up having to mark things as played, which I really hate to do. But I was having that time where I felt like I was having to mark the same things played every time because I just wouldn't get to them. I would start with the same ones and I would get to, I would end up missing the same podcasts every week and end up with a backlog and then get overwhelmed and mark them as played. So what I have done is make a spreadsheet of all of the video podcasts I am watching, and I'm using my randomizer to choose the one that I watch next. So I am still I am all caught up. I had to mark a few as watched last week, and I don't even remember which ones they were. But I am hopeful that I will be able to catch up some this week, over the weekend. But the thing I like about that is that it won't be the same ones every week. That there will be some that I catch up with. I don't know, I'm rambling. But one of my points is, I'd really like your help. If you hear my podcast mentioned on any other podcast, I'd really like it if you would ear burn me, because I am having to mark some as played every week. I don't want to miss out, and I would like to be able to give thanks where thanks are due. And I also, I don't want to be missing a podcast just because I haven't heard of it or because I haven't had the time to watch it. And I would make a special effort to watch something if someone has mentioned me. So if you do hear my podcast mentioned, please let me know. Or if you mention it, please let me know. Just ear burn me and let me know that you've mentioned so that I can give you a shout out and I can give you a listen back. So I guess that is it for this week. For those of you who are much colder than we are in Houston, I hope it warms up soon. We will warm up within the next couple of days. It's supposed to be in the 60s, I think, over the weekend. And it'll get cold again sometime next week. And we'll be on a roller coaster for the next couple of weeks. But it's Houston, and spring is not very far away. So that's it for now. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come back for more. Have a great week. Bye.